The emergence of online networked communities of practice is valuable and precious, but it's easy to be misled, I think, about what these communities, groups, or networks actually are. We all see different things and exist in different conversations. Texts are repurposed and republished across channels and streams. We choose whom we read and follow and respond to. What does it mean to exist, to teach, create, and learn in a community of communities, a true personal learning network? Hi, I'm Bud Hunt. Welcome to the Live Community, a presentation for the 2008 K-12 Online Conference. In this presentation, thanks to the help of some really smart folks, I hope to further your and my thinking about the Live Online Community. The word lie in this presentation has two meanings. One is the obvious one, an untruth. I think we collectively misunderstand our situation when we assume a singular nature of online community. The second, the way something is situated, is a more important definition of lie here. We need to understand the context or contexts in which our utterances and actions are situated. The goal of this presentation is to be more of a conversation starter than a definitive statement. I'm fascinated by the intersection of the personal and the professional, the human and the technical, that occurs in our online presences, creations, relationships, and lives. What you're about to hear are little snippets from four conversations with other folks, just like you and me, who are exploring the world of online community in some form or fashion. I've put together here just a taste of the larger conversations. If you would like to hear the entire conversations, as well as others that I'll be continuing to have over the next few weeks and months, I'd encourage you to visit budtheteacher.com/liveofcommunity, all one word, where I'll be posting these resources and others related to this exploration. I hope you enjoy what you're about to hear, and that it gets you started, or furthers your thinking about the lie of community.
Who are you, and what do you do, and how do we know each other?
I'm Jackie Ballerini. I am a high school math teacher.
I am Jennifer Jones, and I am the e-learning director at Bellingham Technical College.
My name is Javiz Reisdana. I am an international school teacher who is currently working in Doha and Qatar in the Middle East.
My name is Nathan Lowell. I am the technologies coordinator for the National Center on Severe and Sensory Disabilities at the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley, Colorado. I'm also a half-time professor at Morehead State University in Morehead, Kentucky, teaching educational technology. And in my copious spare seconds, I'm a novelist.
I guess I know you through Twitter. I don't even know where you are.
You and I know each other from a variety of different places. We've met on Twitter. We have met in numerous conversations in other places and other times. We've talked about issues of writing, of community, of the nature of education.
Do we know each other? Blogging, Twitter, Plurk for a little bit. That's how we, quote-unquote, know each other.
I believe we first met on Twitter online, and we've continued conversations through every social media, I think, that's evolved in the last year or so.
And we are apparently, although we have never confirmed this in the flesh, practically neighbors.
Yeah, you were mentioning just before I hit record that we live literally in the next town over.
Talk to me a little bit about your online network. Is it a community of people? Is it a network of people? What does it look like?
Community is interesting. Community to me means there's some shared experiences, shared goals, shared beliefs and values, among other things. My online life isn't all of who I am. It's not all of my teaching. It's not all of my education experience. It's definitely part of it, but it's very separate from my daily life. My classes aren't blogging. We're not using too many online tools. In some ways, I have a very traditional classroom in terms of not having an online presence in my class.
Yeah, I mean, I think something I'm grappling with right now is the difference between the concept of community and a network. And after having spent some time with, you know, people that I, again, air quote, had met on Twitter or who read blogs I'd read, I spent time actually face-to-face with them at this conference in Shanghai, and I started making connections that these people that I was interacting with in real life when I came back, the relationship I had with them online became much more authentic to me. They felt like a much more organic sense of community, whereas people who I hadn't met still remained kind of this ambiguous network. And so I started thinking about what is community, you know, and how, like you said, is it a false sense of community? Because it's one thing to, you know, you have someone who you know or respect, and you read their blog, and then you look at their Twitter followers, and you just start following their followers just to get a sense. And then next thing you know, we're all kind of following the same people. And you look at little avatars or whatever, and you realize there's a large, we just share the similar people, but does that make us one large community?
What I have around me is completely my own fabrication, and I use it for my own purposes. I don't think we even use the tools in the same way. But you can probably overlap people and find some type of measurement that would create something you could call a community or group based on the types of interactions, the length of connectivity, and I wouldn't even center it around the tools, unless you're counting numbers of tools. For example, we connect through blogs and Gmail and Twitter and Skype and Facebook and wherever, Flickr, and I think that's a different type of connection than just the people I communicate back and forth with on Twitter. So, nope, my community is mine, and I change it as I see fit, and I think everybody should do the same.
I've been dealing in online communities since about 94. Yeah, 94, 95, I started getting into online communities that were not strictly asynchronous. It's important to recognize that we have a tyranny of synchrony, and that's that we tend to think that if we're not there at the same time, we're not there at all.
I've also done experiments where I've taken my Google Reader and only followed people I know, or only followed people who responded on my blog, or at one point I only followed K through 12 bloggers. So I do a lot of experimentation to find the mix that works for me. And a lot of it has to do with what kind of projects I'm working on.
Whereas reality, you know, maybe instead of having 277 followers on Twitter that I don't really know, would it be more beneficial to have 20 that I know very well and I interact with, that I have Skype calls with, you know? And so I'm just trying to figure out what's more advantageous to me for my personal learning. Do I need a community of small, like-minded people that I know I'm not going to offend, I can be myself? Or am I just a member of a network that, you know, people are going to see my tweets and every once in a while you say, oh, he's saying that again.
Do I learn from them? Yes, which is why I keep coming back. Do I have fun? Yes. Is it a community in the sense that we all have the same goals? Maybe. I'm not sure sometimes.
Someone tweeted the other night and said, oh, you know, I wish that people would leave politics off Twitter. Well, it's like, well, if you're a member of a community, how can you possibly do that? How can it be something that's so ingrained? I mean, politics is community, you know, so how can you not have those discussions?
I'm convinced that the purpose of the network, particularly the personal learning network or personal learning environment, is to have the right number of connections to the right contexts. And the challenge is to have sufficient variety in those connections. Well, I think it's a question of fluency. I think it's a question of how comfortable you are in using the tools. Now, a lot of people, if I gave my network to somebody who wasn't particularly fluent in this environment, they would be immediately overwhelmed and shut down.
I think anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that I use it probably less for work and less for professional development than I do, you know, just to say silly things and get responses and you know, lighten up the day. So I think I was getting to the point where I realized I would post something and wait for feedback. And I remembered back in the days, the old bulletin board system days where you'd have a live BBS and there'd be people at night and they'd say, okay, goodbye, I'm going to bed. And they'd wait for responses and then, okay, now I'm really going to bed. And okay, I'm really going to go to bed now. And I took a look at myself and I thought, am I that person? Because those people were really annoying to me. So I don't know if you can see the parallel there, but I would say something funny and wait for, you know, someone to laugh or respond or something to come back. And I thought, you know, this isn't really what I need right now. It felt more like an ego feed than what I needed. So instead of just being dramatic and saying, okay, I'm leaving Twitter and blogging about it or whatever, I just deleted my account. and that was it, you know. And what happened while I was going through that, I was thinking, wow, I've got, I don't know what it was, 900 something or other followers. And that was the only reason I could think not to delete my account, was because I'd worked so hard to get those followers. And I thought, if that's the reason why I don't want to delete my account, then I'm in it for the wrong reason. And so I deleted it.
But I think online has given us the opportunity to start dealing with something, to come up with kind of a new definition of community. The idea that, and perhaps this is what the definition of network is, we have a voluntary alignment of ideals. We have a voluntary alignment with people that we like, respect, follow, listen to, perhaps don't like, but I think there's a certain sense of we're all engaged in this together. There's a sense that we're all asking similar questions and all looking for similar answers. I believe the fact that it is in flux, the fact that what online provides us with is the opportunity to change that affinity group, whatever you want to call it, network, community, whatever. We can change that affinity group depending on literally our whim at the moment. And I don't believe that that changes the validity or the value of that in terms of whether we want to call it a community or a network or whatever. The idea that we now have the ability to move, because remember, going back to the physical, our community is where we live, I don't think is a negative. I don't think it constitutes a shift in what makes community. I think what it provides for us is a richer definition of where it is we live. In physical space, we can only live in one place at a time. In virtual space, we can live in a variety of places all at the same time. And I think that provides a very interesting take on the concept of community.
So how does a new teacher, or not necessarily a new teacher, but somebody new to this idea of building a network, what do they do?
I think the first thing they need to do is grab a Gator. Google Reader is pretty good, I guess. I don't use Google Reader. I use a Linux-based one that's on my laptop because my laptop is always with me. For teachers that are moving around from computer to computer, web-based aggregator is probably a good choice. And I would suggest that somebody new in the space, pick, I'm going to say no more than 50 feeds. Probably 20 would be better. But do something rash, like follow half a dozen educators, and then follow an international news feed. In fact, follow a couple of international news feeds. I follow Al Jazeera and BBC, and I also subscribe to Reuters. So I get a lot of what's U.S.-based news, but I get a lot of what's not U.S.-based news. The Beeb is good for international scientific stuff. They have a lot of good stuff. Follow a political blog. But it's important to expose yourself to ideas that are not yours. One of the problems that we have is if we only listen to people who think like us, we're not really exposed to ideas that might enrich our own thinking.
You know, it's like any other relationship in real life or face-to-face. You're not just going to walk into a room with 25 professionals, and then next thing you know, you're best friends. You know, it takes time, and even in schools, we work with people for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and out of all the teachers you work with, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to invite every single person home for dinner. But at the end of the day, you know, it's those people that you have lunch with, it's those people that you talk with and talk about your classroom with and talk about what's going on in your life with. Those are the people that end up being part of your community. And I honestly think that if you have a network, a professional network, that's one thing. And I'm not going to devalue that. I think that's important. But if you honestly want to build online communities, there has to be kind of a breaking down of those walls. You can't go into it and just think, I'm going to have a professional community. I don't think you can. I'm in the process of kind of carving out my community from my network.
Do you think it's a teacher's place to be helping kids to create their personal learning networks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't want to get kind of philosophical and tangential on this, but it's like, I mean, ultimately, especially in this day and age where information is readily available, I think that's one of the main reasons for kids going to school, right? I mean, they can get information anywhere, so I think it's important for them to learn how to interact with other people and kind of build a sense of community, because it feels like in the modern age, you get this sense of alienation a lot, you know? So if you have kids who, as adolescents or young people, have a hard time meeting people anyway, you know, it's part of a job to kind of teach them how to connect with other people, especially when it's so easy. But one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is why are we focusing so much on having, I know this may be sacrilegious, but why are we focusing so much on having kids collaborate and communicate and connect with people from all over the world when it seems like when you have a group of 25 kids sitting in a classroom staring at each other, you're creating a sense of community in that room?
I don't think it's out of place. I just sometimes wonder, when during the day do you have time to get this done? Lots of focused on meeting standards and meeting goals, and that takes time to do. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but I think it depends on the culture of the building that you're in as to whether or not that's something that's valued. My students have their online networks. And we've talked about, you know, they're on MySpace and mostly Facebook and the other mediums they use to communicate. They don't want their teachers there. I'm not going to force a community that they don't want to willingly participate in. If someone tried to make me participate in something I didn't want to, I'm not sure how invested I would be in it.
I think it's very important to remain professional at first until you get to know people. I've seen people try to jump right in and get silly right away and be rejected, and it shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is in real life too. So you need to be professional so people can get to know you and what you're doing first and get to be able to trust you. I think that if somebody tells you that these are the people you have to follow and this is what you should do to build your network, it's just not going to work. And, it's hard to say, because I've got a couple dozen people, I would say, that I think would be good for everybody to follow, and they've been of such value to me, but making that judgment for somebody else is really difficult. People just really need to realize that this is their personal learning and their personal communications, and that they have the right to follow the people they want. If somebody's out there and they've got these public profiles, then by all means, follow them. And if you don't want to follow them, or you don't want somebody following you, block them. I think we're going to see a lot of changes in the future. I think I personally find these tools not intuitive. I don't think that it's easy to interact with them, despite the fact that we go around saying how easy they are. I think that we're going to see an evolution where individuals do have more control over how they communicate with people and the people that they select to be a part of their personal network. I don't think it's going to be as complicated.
It is what it is, and things can evolve, and you never know where relationships can go, but interaction doesn't necessarily mean a relationship.
The idea of the lie, the way things are arranged, I think that's an important construct. And I like the fact that this really is a conversation, particularly in education. We're really anxious to find out what the answers are, but I'm not even sure we know what the questions are yet.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can download MP3s of the entire conversations with each of my guests at budtheteacher.com/lieofcommunity. as well as some additional MP3s and resources that I'm going to accumulate over the next few weeks and months as I continue to explore this topic. Special thanks to Jennifer Jones, Jackie Ballerini, Jabiz Rezdana, and Nathan Lowell. Enjoy the rest of the K-12 Online Conference.